RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace. Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn by renting your own RV.
And by Go Power. For 22 years, Go Power has been a trusted leader in the mobile solar and power inverter market. Their solar and inverter systems and kits offer full-time or secondary power sources wherever grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. To size a power system for yourself, visit gpelectric.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at rvfta.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking to one of the most experienced RV experts out there, Mark Polk. Mark and his wife, Dawn, are the brains and talent behind RV Education 101, a media company aimed to educate new and seasoned RV owners.
Mark Polk is here to help us put together a basic RV toolkit and so much more that will help all of us RVers to prevent many maintenance issues from arising and also deal with emergencies if and when they happen.
You might think tools belong at home in the garage, but we know that being prepared will make your RV experiences so much better. You are listening to episode 178, RV Education 101 with Mark Polk.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, RV Education 101 with Mark Polk, it's time to induct another item into the RVFTA Gear Hall of Fame. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make money renting out your RV, whether you are in the United States or in Canada. The thought of renting out your RV can be a nerve-wracking experience. Outdoorsy understands that and has all the tools you need to make sure you have a successful renting experience. From a $1 million liability insurance to the standard DMV background checks for all renters, Outdoorsy wants renters to have a great adventure, and they want owners to make some money when they aren't using your rig. It's a win-win. Visit outdoorsy.com/list-your-RV for more info today.
I've been surfing their website a lot.
I know.
I really have. It's a fun time. Just punch in a city and see what's for rent there, you know?
I'm thinking, love that website.
I'm thinking we might fly somewhere and rent an RV from Outdoorsy this summer.
Go ahead with your teasers. All right, let's go now. What is getting inducted into the RVFTA Gear Hall of Fame? It was your turn this week. What'd you pick?
Stephanie, if you asked me what my favorite piece, all-time piece of camping gear is, period, top favorite, it would be the S-Wing Fireside Friend Splitting Tool. I use this every single time we have a campfire, and I've been using it for over 8 years. I'm almost embarrassed to say it. I've never even sharpened it, and it works as well as it worked on day one. So what this is, it's basically a camping axe, but it has a heavy head on it. It has a 4-pound weighted head on it. So when you chop down on a piece of firewood, it splits it like a knife going through butter.
Yeah, you look so big and strong.
I do. I do. But here's the thing. So the question is, if you buy a stack of firewood at the campground, why would you need an S-wing fireside friend to split it up even more? Well, I'll tell you. Because the more you split up a piece of firewood, the easier and faster and nicer it burns, right? So sometimes you get those big chunky pieces of firewood at the campground, and this allows you to split it up into maybe two or three smaller pieces, which are going to make for a nicer campfire. That's why it's called the fireside friend. It's one piece of steel, American steel.
So okay. It's not going to get that jiggly thing that the no. other axes
well, some
do
of them
where
come
they
apart.
Come apart.
They actually yeah. Yeah, come apart mm-hmm. into pieces. It is one piece of solid American steel. It has a hand-sharpened edge. It's about 14 inches long. You can get it with a genuine leather grip and a more expensive, say, $50 special edition. This is going to cost you about $30, depending on where you find it, unless you want that special edition, which is about $50. I think that every RV owner needs a friend by the campfire.
All right.
An S-wing fireside friend.
For years, you've recommended it on a gear guide, and then you've also recommended it on like every single Father's Day gift guide that you've done over the years because you love it so much and you just can't help but put it on every list.
I think that S-wing makes gorgeous tools. I also have an S-wing hammer in my toolbox. They make a sportsman's, a more traditional camping axe, but the fireside friend is above and beyond my all-time favorite piece of camping gear.
I will link to it in the show notes over at rvfta.com.
Yeah.
How excited are we to have our guest today, Mark Polk from RV Education 101?
There are more immediately usable, practical tips in this episode than in any other episode in RVFTA history. I'm throwing it down right now.
Yeah, and we really do just rely so much on Mark's expertise as RVers ourselves. And whenever people ask certain questions in our Facebook group, like so many times I reference his information if people truly want to become knowledgeable, right, about maintaining and taking care of their RVs. He is the expert in this, and I'm really glad that we're having him on the show. And I hope to have him back a million times in the future because he could talk about anything for an hour, and you learn something.
Well, and he blew my mind five times.
Yeah. So listen, we have a very special offering from Mark and Dawn. You'll hear in this episode about how they've launched a new online training opportunity. They used to, you know, before they had their VHSs and their DVDs, and then they had the app, but now they've actually launched a place online. It's rvonlinetraining.com, and you can take all of their courses in RV maintenance, and it's just full of it. You're going to hear Mark talk about it, but what they wanted to do is offer you guys a discount. So if you enter code RVFTA over at rvonlinetraining.com, you're going to get 20% off.
That's solid.
I know. That's
okay.
Nice.
And if you're driving right now, you just go over to our website, rvfta.com, look for the show notes for this episode, and all of the information about that special
yep.
code and that discount will be right there in the show notes.
Absolutely. All right. So you ready to dive in?
I am so excited to talk to Mark Polk.
All right. Here he is.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to have Mark Polk here from RV Education 101. We have wanted him on the show for a long time, and we can't really wait to dive in and talk to him. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
From rugged and rustic to comfy and cozy, the agile and reliable 2017 J Sport camping trailer makes getting away your way a breeze. With five lifetime warranties, including lifter system, bed platforms, floor, roof, and frame, the J-Sport is a camping trailer you can count on. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. I wonder if Penny has five lifetime warranties.
I don't think she does.
My pop-up from 1990.
We need to get Mark Polk over here to work
on
Penny.
I would love it. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Stephanie. Hi, Jeremy. I appreciate you guys asking me to be on.
Well, we appreciate you. And I want to start out by just thanking you for all you do, for all of our safety. I mean, everybody in the RV culture in America needs to thank Mark Polk because you've made us all a lot safer out on the road. And I really do appreciate that. So much great content.
Well, I really appreciate the compliment, Jeremy. And it has been our goal for many, many years to make this RV experience as safe and user-friendly as possible. So I'm happy that when I hear that we're actually getting some results from that.
Yeah, well, you have a very authentic story behind your, you know, production of all of this RV maintenance and care content. And we just want to kind of give our listeners a little bit of the story behind your RV Education 101 brand that you've built over the years. So, you know, take us back all the way to the beginning of where you started to build this wealth of knowledge. You started out in the RV industry pretty young, right?
Yes, I did. Actually, a really good friend of mine, his father was a general manager for an RV dealership in North Central Pennsylvania, and he got me a job at the RV dealership washing campers when I was 16 years old. So, I mean, it goes back even a little further than that. When I was 12 years old, I took apart our family's perfectly good lawnmower to see what made it tick, and then I couldn't get it back together again. So that's when my dad came home and he said, "Don't you ever take anything apart if you can't put it back together." So that was the beginning of my curiosity with all things mechanical, and that evolved into that job washing campers. And what I would do when I wasn't busy washing campers, I'd hang out over at the service department. And the service manager over there kind of took me under his wing because I guess he realized I had a mechanical aptitude. And I just wanted to know how everything worked and how you do things. So it wasn't long after that I wasn't washing campers anymore. I was working in the service department, and I was learning how to install hitches, put brake controllers on vehicles, transmission oil coolers. That was in Pennsylvania, so when people ordered an RV, they didn't always order it with an air conditioner, and if they wanted an air conditioner later, we would add air conditioners. They had me doing pre-delivery inspections on sold units and Pennsylvania state inspections. So it all came kind of early on, and I was really enjoyed that type of work. I enjoyed being around RVs. I enjoyed that it was something that made people happy and that something that people get enjoyment out of. So I just thought the RV industry was the greatest thing in the world way back at the age of 16.
Now, you did not then go right into the RV industry as a teenager. You took a different path. So why don't you tell us kind of where you went next and what you did next? I mean, it's all connected, really, in the end. But what happened next?
Okay. I don't know whatever caused me to do this. One day I got in my car and drove down to the Army recruiter's office, walked in. And when I walked out of there, I had joined the Army. So that happened shortly before I turned 19 years old. And then I got into the military, and I was, again, with my mechanical aptitude, I got into my job was a power generation and wheeled vehicle mechanic. And I did that for about 5 years. And then the warrant officer that I worked for in the motor pool, he kept telling me, "You need to go to warrant officer school. You would do really well, being in charge of some of these maintenance facilities and things." So I thought that was a neat idea. So I applied for warrant officer school, and I was accepted. And I graduated from warrant officer school as a wheeled and track vehicle maintenance officer. And then I made a career out of the military. And during that time, I was in charge of some really large fleet maintenance operations. The way this all kind of tied together, I retired from the Army in 96. And during all those years with part of my responsibility was to teach these young soldiers from all walks of life how to drive, military vehicles, how to maintain these vehicles. And so that crossed over really nicely back into the RV industry when I retired. I started out as a salesperson at a dealership in North Carolina, and they really wanted me to go in the service department and run that, but I knew I would make more money selling RVs, so I fought that off for a while, and eventually they promoted me to sales and F&I manager. I was lucky enough to attend a lot of RV management courses, and I took a lot of RV technician courses through an online Florida RV technician program. So I had a lot of real-world experience, starting out washing campers and then being a sales manager at a dealership. So, and the military training worked in really well when we crossed over with the idea to start teaching people how to use and maintain RVs.
Well, yeah, tell us a little bit more about that journey from working in the dealership to actually starting RV Education 101. I think that a lot of the things that you saw going on in the industry at that time really inspired you to go into the world of RV education, right?
Yes, absolutely. When I got the job as a sales manager, when we sold a unit, I trained my salespeople how to give the walkthrough class that you would give a new owner before they took delivery of a unit. And what I noticed was we would sell a unit, they would come in for delivery, we'd take them through their class, which was a very thorough class. And then when they get the RV home, I would get all these phone calls, and they would be telling me, you know, I can't remember what you guys said about this or how this worked or how that worked. And I thought, man, this is happening an awful lot, you know, that's recurring over and over. So it finally hit me that what we were doing was we were trying to overload them with information, and it was totally impossible for them to retain that much information in a short period of time. So I started researching. I said, surely there's something out there that we could kind of like gift them with that they would be able to rely on and go back to and review until they felt comfortable using the RV. And when I searched that, there was really nothing out there that was in the form of a walkthrough type, like, say, a video presentation or anything written. So that's around the end of, probably 98, I got the idea of producing videos, RV training videos, that we could give them, you know, when they came in to pick the unit up, and then they would be able to just watch that over and over and over. So that's what I did. We produced two RV training videos, and it really took off with the owner of the dealership I worked at, and she was in a what's called a 20 group, so it's 19 other dealerships, and they get together on a regular basis. And she took one of the videos and showed the other 19 owners, and they just were absolutely thought that was the greatest idea they ever heard of. So at the end of 99, I left the dealership to just kind of devote all my time and effort into my company, which at that time we called it RV Education 101.
And the start there was really with these VHS tapes, which I imagine people ordered and you mailed out to them and as a small business. Now, obviously, you've had to evolve quite a lot since that time period. So tell us a little bit about the evolution of RV Education 101, that journey from VHS tapes in the late 90s to all kinds of offerings today.
Yes, it was really interesting because we did start with VHS tapes, and then I remember clearly one day I walked into a Blockbuster video store, and I noticed this shelf on the one side, and it had this really strange looking other type of tape. So I went home that night, and I told Dawn, I said, I think we need to get busy here, because that's when DVDs came out. So we just kind of made a frantic switch over from VHS to DVD. We actually upgraded some of our titles then that were getting a little older. It gave us an opportunity to check everything out and make sure everything was up to date. So we put all our titles on DVD, and at the peak of our training offerings that we had, we actually had 20 full feature videos. At that time, I had written 14 ebooks and 3 paperback books. But what happened as far as the delivery platform goes, we did DVDs, which were still doing really well, and I contribute that to baby boomers because a lot of people who aren't really tech savvy or aren't comfortable with the computer, they still want that physical DVD on hand. So that is actually really doing well, but we see, you know, as fast as technology moves, we want to keep pace with it. So we moved above and beyond DVDs. We went into what was a video download program, and that's where we developed the program where you just, you know, you order the product, hit a button, and it downloads to your computer. But we had issues with that because a lot of Apple devices couldn't download MP4 video files, and they couldn't put it on certain devices. And this was years ago before anybody else was even doing anything with instant download stuff. So at that point, there was the only solution to kind of fix the Apple problem was to come out with some video apps, which we did. And they worked both on Apple and Android devices. And that was a couple years ago that we did the apps. And then that kind of brings us to where we're at today, and we're actually developing a brand new RV Online training series. The website is www.rvonlinetraining.com. And what's neat about this is all of the video content, everything on that site can be viewed on any device, regardless of a smartphone, a tablet, Apple, Android, PC, anything at all. So it simplifies, you know, the whole process. People can go there. The way we did this is we set it up like courses. So we took our full feature DVD that we offered. We updated all that material, and then we broke it down by chapter. So you go in and watch chapter one, the video, and then we added some really neat text content, some articles that I've written in the past that pertain to that particular chapter. We threw in some crossword puzzles to make it fun, and some short YouTube videos that relate to that chapter topic. And then at the end of each course, they can take a short quiz to help them retain the information. So that's where we're at right now, and we're hoping. We think it's going to be really big. We think it's going to be well received. We just announced it about a week ago, so it's in its infancy, but we're going to nurture it and hope that it grows.
Now, you and Don told me about this goal of yours back when we saw each other at the RVIA show in November, and I said, we have to get you on the show when you're doing this and when this is available, because I think it would be so applicable to so many people in our audience. And just with you explaining how it works with your chapters and courses, it just shows that at heart, you both are teachers. Like, you really have the ability to kind of break up this very overwhelming topic of RV maintenance into really bite-sized chunks and kind of communicate it to people. So this sounds really great, and I'm excited to take a look at it.
And I mean, there's got to be a lot of excitement on your part, because there's this whole new generation of RV owners out there who are just really need this content, right? And you're right there to meet them with the offerings right now.
Yes, we're really excited, and what we even went a step further. We took all of the ebooks that I've written in the past, and we developed them into ebook courses. So we did the same thing. If we broke the ebooks down by chapter, so let's say it's a winterizing and storing ebook, we broke that down into individual chapters, which would be like, you know, winterizing the RV water system. And then prepping the interior for storage, prepping the exterior, prepping the chassis. We broke all that out in chapters, and then we added video content and the articles that I've written and stuff. So instead of just getting a $12 ebook, now they're getting an entire education in every form of media possible about that topic. So it really does make the learning process much easier for just about anybody to understand and go, you know, walk away with with some valuable knowledge on that topic.
Now, this is a challenging business you're in to some degree, right? Because you're constantly having to update the way you deliver the information. But it also sounds like the information itself is changing a little bit. I mean, RVs have changed somewhat since the late 90s, have they not? I mean, I guess some of the basics are the same, but today's RVs must be quite a bit different than when you started.
This is actually our third update, Jeremy. When we started on VHS, that was the first generation, and then when we jumped through our hoop with the DVDs, we updated the majority of the titles at that time. There were a couple we didn't do, and then this program here, we're updating each title before we put it into that chorus material. So it's all new, it's all relevant. I actually spent the last 2 years at the RVIA, the National Trade Show, making sure that I was incorporating everything that was new to date in this program. So, yeah, not a lot changed, but things do change. You know, you go from, you start out with, let's say, water heaters that are, you know, you have to go out and physically light the water heater, and then that evolved into DSI, where it's direct spark ignition, you just push a button. And now it's water, hot water on demand. So, you know, we might have had two of those covered, and then we had to pick up the third one and make sure we included that. So if an individual bought an RV with that feature, then we're covering that material.
Now, Mark, I'm going to put links to your RV online training courses in the show notes for this episode over at rvfta.com. So anybody that's listening right now can easily find it. They can just go right there. Or if you're driving or running right now, you can go over to rvfta.com and find your way to all of Mark's great content. Now, we are not going to just tell you about all of Mark's knowledge and good content. We're also going to share some of that knowledge on this episode in the next two segments.
Yeah, so hang on for a second, everybody. Mark's going to come back, and we're going to talk about three different types of RV maintenance.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here again with Mark Polk for another great segment. And in this segment, we're going to talk about three different types of RV maintenance. And you want to hear this, people. You want to think about this stuff. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Keeping your tanks in great shape is a really important part of RV maintenance. So we figured we'd mention some products that Thetford has that's going to help you with that.
My tanks are in better shape than I am.
We have used Thetford products for our tanks since we bought our very first pop-up camper almost 9 years ago. From the freshwater tank sanitizers to drain lubricant and level gauge cleaner, they have everything you need to keep your tanks in tip-top condition. You can visit Thetford.com to see a complete lineup of holding tank products.
Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Yes. Hello.
All right. Let's talk three different types of RV maintenance. It's almost like a philosophy of RV maintenance, a way of really thinking about how we take care of our RVs. So get us started here. What's the first type of RV maintenance that our listeners should be thinking about?
Okay, Jeremy. When I spent a whole career in the military. I was a maintenance warrant officer. And I learned the maintenance system inside out is probably the best maintenance system in the world. And the first step in maintenance in the military is called preventive maintenance. And the goal with that is we want to teach. When I was in the military, I wanted to teach, you know, vehicle operators, or like with RVs at the owner level, you want to teach them how they can possibly, by checking something very simple, prevent that from turning into a major disaster. So, for an example, if you notice that there's a small leak or a fluid level is low, or, you know, something what seems very minor right now, but if you start driving the vehicle, chances are that's going to turn into a major repair. So if you catch it early, the result is you could prevent, you know, what would be called emergency maintenance further down the road.
And this is, I mean, look, not to be extreme, this could be life or death. I mean, certainly in the military situations you're talking about, and even for the person towing an RV or driving a motorhome, but also this could save you a lot of money, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just think of what a small oil leak on the vehicle, and if you notice a couple drops underneath it before you leave your house, you can have that checked out and repaired, whereas if you start driving on a 500-mile RV trip, that's just leaking oil the whole time until the engine locks up on you. So, yes, absolutely. It's the hardest thing to get people to do in the military was, you know, to just do that preventive maintenance. But once we taught them the benefits of that and they realized, you know, that they're not going to be stuck out in the middle of the woods somewhere for 3 days until somebody could get out there to help them, then they realize, hey, all I need to do is check my vehicle out before I leave the motor pool, and then I can avoid a lot of this unnecessary emergency maintenance.
Okay, Mark, what are some really major things we need to look at in terms of preventative maintenance?
Okay, Jeremy, there's a lot of things, and really it's just some basic operator-level stuff that if you take the time to check it, you can head off what could possibly be a major problem down the road. So let's say before you leave on a trip, you check your fluid levels and you notice that the oil is a quart low on oil. So if you hadn't checked that, there might be a reason for it being low, maybe that it's leaking, and then, you know, you head out on a 500-mile RV trip, and then you run out of the engine oil, runs out until the motor locks up, and then you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere on vacation with a very expensive proposition of getting it fixed and getting back home. So, you know, things like looking to see if fluid levels are low or if there might be a small fluid leak on the ground before you leave, you check it out. A big one is underinflated tires, and the reason for that a lot of times is when an RV sits in storage, tires can lose a percentage of air every month just sitting in storage. So if it sits there for 3 months between trips and you don't check the air pressure and you leave, that underinflated tire is going to overheat and eventually result in a blowout. So all these things are what I categorize as preventive maintenance, that if you do it before you leave on the trip, it's a highly, highly possible that you'll prevent emergency maintenance down the road.
And these are things really that everybody can do, right? I mean, checking your tire pressure is something, if you're going to buy an RV, you need to do that. And it can take 10 minutes and it can save you thousands of dollars. Blowouts are expensive, can do lots of damage to the rig.
Yes, absolutely. And, that's what I say all the time. These are things that just about anybody has the capability to do, checking the oil in the generator, checking the fluid levels in the tow vehicle or the motorhome, whichever it might be, you know, checking the tire pressure, looking for leaks. And it goes a step farther, I think a lot of times people overlook or forget about something because they might be a little bit intimidated by it, not knowing how to do it. And if that's the case, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But then you need to find somebody who can check it for you.
Or you need to go to RVonlinetraining.com.
There you go.
That's your resource right there.
Well, I think people are in a hurry. You don't want to necessarily be doing these things 5 minutes before you leave for your vacation either. I mean, you need a little pre-planning for a trip, I think.
Now, I'm gonna tell on myself here a little bit. I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you this story. The last RV trip we took, and I think it might have been to the National RV Trade Show, I had the RV over at the house. It wasn't over at my shop. I brought it over to the house a couple of days ahead of time, and I went through everything. I checked everything under the engine compartment. I inflated all my tires to the proper pressure. I made sure we had everything for a cold weather RV trip packed in the RV. And then the morning we were leaving, we were running a little bit behind schedule. So I had got the dogs out into the motorhome, and I went out and I started the engine. I was warming it up inside, And I was ready to go. So Dawn came and she opened the entry door to the motorhome and she said, "Are you going to unplug the RV before we leave?"
Oh, it happens. Dawn, it happens. Gotcha. It can even happen to Mark Polk. And you just made all of the rest of us feel a little bit better about ourselves.
I love it. All right.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the second type of maintenance. And this is scheduled maintenance. It's probably something that people don't pay enough attention to. I know with our cars, sometimes we ignore what we're supposed to do at 100,000 miles, right? But what kind of scheduled maintenance issues should we really be paying attention to with our RVs?
Well, see, so we talked about very briefly about preventive maintenance, and that's what I would categorize at operator level, or that would be the RV owner level stuff. And that's the first thing we want to make sure we're doing. Then the next step is when you purchase a new vehicle, whether it's an RV or a car, say, for vehicles, the schedules are always on a time basis. So like 6 months, 12 months, or 12,000 miles. And that's basically oil changes. It's when you should change out the antifreeze in the radiator. All kinds of things. Having a timing belt checked on a car at 60,000 miles. And you're absolutely right. People don't pay attention to that. They don't look in the book. And if the dealer that sold the vehicle to you isn't calling you, then you're probably not getting these done. So what I do is every year in North Carolina, we have to have a North Carolina inspection done. So when I take the RV into the Ford dealership for the inspection, I look and make sure if we're due for any type of scheduled maintenance that we just tell them to go ahead and do it at that time. So you can kind of keep up with it like that. But it's one of those things that are, often overlooked or forgotten. And then what happens is, the quality of the antifreeze in the radiator starts to break down and get corrosive. And then you're driving on a trip and a water pump decides to go out because of all that corrosion that's built up inside. That's how these things happen. So the more aware you are of the scheduled maintenance and the more that you are willing to go ahead and get it done when it's due, the better you're going to be in the long run. And, I see this all the time with RVs, people breaking down, and you can kind of trace back to where the origin of where the problem began, and it's usually just a lack of maintenance.
I imagine this is also very different for the motorhome owner as opposed to the travel trailer owner. We are travel trailer owners, and there's very little scheduled maintenance.
To tell on ourselves, our first blowout happened because we didn't necessarily, we don't know why, but we, our axles was not something as new RV owners that was really on our radar, and we didn't know a lot about it.
Now
we didn't
have religious tire about religion. It, but we weren't at the time.
Yeah,
so.
And you guys would be, in your situation, I would say, on the trailer side of things, you need to be aware of the brake maintenance requirements and wheel bearing maintenance requirements. Then, of course, just keeping up with your tires. But that goes back to the preventive maintenance at operator level. But from a service interval, there are requirements for brakes and wheel bearings. And then, of course, you have a tow vehicle. So the tow vehicle becomes the motorized part of the configuration. So now you have scheduled maintenance that's due on the truck.
You just blew my mind. I mean, that's like the simplest thing in the world, but in a sense, yes, it is part of my motorhome.
Yeah, you don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
But you do that before. We usually have our first big trip of the summer, and Jeremy always schedules a mechanic's visit.
I think that the trucks are to some degree so reliable in the last 5 to 10 years that we can get lazy because they are so good.
Yeah. And the thing that a lot of people don't really think about when you're towing a trailer is you're really taxing that tow vehicle. I mean, you are putting it under extreme operating conditions, and people don't consider that. But when you tow a heavy amount of weight, whether the truck is a brand new diesel, turbo diesel truck or whatever, when you tow a heavy amount of weight, the fluid levels like the engine oil, transmission fluid, and fluid in the rear differential, the rear axle, that fluid gets way, way hotter than as if you were just out on the road with the truck cruising down the highway. And, you know, some of that stuff isn't even in the scheduled maintenance, but what I like to try to do with RV owners is educate them on taking the vehicle in and having the oil drained out of the rear axle and refilled with fresh oil, just because it gets so hot. And the transmission fluid, your owner's manual might say, hey, you know, do this every 30,000 miles. But if you're towing a trailer all the time, whether it's construction or for, you know, RV lifestyle type thing, you need to do it at the intervals have to be increased, you know, above and beyond what might be in the book.
Good.
That was worth the entire interview.
There you go, people. That's why we have them on.
On a selfish level, for me, that was worth the whole interview. Thank you so much.
Now, the third type of maintenance that you talk about is emergency maintenance. Now, of course, we want to prevent emergencies from happening as much as we can, but they can still happen anyway. So, you know, so what types of emergencies happen out there on the road with RV owners? And, you know, what are the most common ones that they need to be prepared for?
Well, and it all goes back again. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it goes back to the preventive maintenance thing. If you're checking tires and batteries and fluid levels before you leave, chances are you're going to get to your destination and not have to be concerned with emergency maintenance. But typically, if you don't do those checks and you overlook something or miss something, that is what ends up being the cause for the emergency maintenance. So let's say, an example I used earlier, let's say the RV sat in storage for 4 months and it lost, on average, 2 PSI of air pressure in the tires every month. So you're running the tires 8 pounds below where they should be, and when you run tires underinflated, it creates a great deal of heat and it puts the tires under a tremendous load, and that's when you can experience blowouts. And you don't understand, you look at, you know, you say, oh, they had plenty of tread, they're only 2 years old, what is going on, they sold me a bad tire. But chances are it was just goes back to the beginning where you failed to check the tire pressure and then you had a blowout, and now that becomes emergency maintenance because, number one, maybe you don't have a spare, or number two, you're in a remote type part of the country where you can't locate a spare for a day or two, and you're just sitting alongside the road waiting for, you know, someone to come with some assistance. So this can be tire maintenance, it can be battery maintenance, it can be not inspecting things on the RV before you leave on a trip. I mean, there's so many things, but I try so hard to encourage people to just use, in the military, you use a lot of checklists. Everything is broken down into checklists, which is really easy for, young operators to be able to use. That's why we did that. So I tried to incorporate that into the RV lifestyle and actually wrote an entire ebook on checklists for RVers. There's like 40 checklists in there about every topic imaginable, but pre-trip checks is one of them. And I think if I can teach somebody to do their pre-trip checks before they pull out, and that one final walk around to catch the power cord still plugged in.
For the rookies.
Yeah. See, that would have been... I would have had emergency maintenance and I didn't even make it out of the driveway.
Now, we will link to that book of yours, Mark, in the show notes for this episode if anybody wants to check out that
book. We're
going
to link to everything we can possibly link
everything.
To.
Just go. Just go and click on those links and get all this good stuff from Mark Polk. Okay, so now that we have a handle on sort of the different types of maintenance that we're going to have to do, we are going to talk about the tools that RVers need to do this maintenance. So everybody, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for segment three with Mark Polk from RV Education 101. And in this segment, we're all going to end up spending some money because Mark's going to be talking about RV toolkit necessities. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go Power.
Go Power has been a trusted, recognized leader in the business of solar technology for over 20 years. Their high-quality solar chargers, inverters, controllers, and power accessories offer a durable, dependable, and cost-effective solution for mobile power needs where grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. Go Power is helping us develop a solar energy system that's going to suit our needs as RVers. And not only that, we're working with them to create a solar package that would be a reasonable addition for most RVers that are looking to unplug in state parks and on BLM lands around the country. And as we learn, we're going to pass along all that knowledge to you. So stay tuned for our solar story. And in the meantime, you can go to gpelectric.com for lots of educational resources and product information.
This year's like the year of education here.
Education,
yeah. And what a great person to have on the show for this episode. Welcome back to the show, Mark Polk.
Okay, here we go.
Let's do this. I'm excited for this segment.
If it's products, Jeremy's excited.
Yeah, I mean,
Mark Polk is telling Jeremy he needs to buy things, so he's happy.
We're going to be clear right from the beginning. Mark has a much more extensive list that we will link to, but these are just some things you need to get going, some real necessities for your starter toolkit.
Mark and Dawn sent along a really nice, clear PDF that I'm going to put into the show notes for this, so you don't have to take notes. It's all in the PDF, but we're just going to talk about some of the basics. All right, Mark, what is your number one product that people need to have in their RV toolkit?
Well, you know, in the earlier segments, we discussed how important it was to check the tire pressure in your tires. And what amazes me is if, you know, somebody that would go on an RV trip without a good quality tire pressure gauge. That, to me, is probably the number one tool that you need to have in your RV toolbox, because the first thing you should do before you pull out of the driveway is check and inflate any tires that are underinflated, and that can sure prevent that emergency maintenance on your trip. And a tire blowout can do a lot of damage to the RV, too, so it can just be multiple problems from a blowout, and it would be so easy to just check the tire pressure. Now, I would say you want a quality gauge, and what I mean by that is you don't want to go in and buy one of those little pencil gauges at the local automotive store. You probably want to spend about $20-$25 and get one that look on the package and it'll say that it's accurate to plus or minus 1 PSI. That would be a good gauge. And then the important thing is the gauges are calibrated, so you don't want to just throw that in the toolbox with all your other tools, because if it gets banged around enough, it's going to lose its calibration and it's not going to give you an accurate reading. So you want to keep that gauge in a protected case and put it somewhere where it can't get bumped and banged around.
I feel a little guilty right now my tire pressure gauge is.
Yeah,
but
Jeremy's been throwing his tire pressure gauge.
We're not going to talk about that right now. Now, Mark, we also tell everybody to check that tire pressure on every traveling day, not just before you leave for a trip, but if it's a multi-stop trip, to check on any day where you're driving, sure.
I say that too, but it's really hard to get people to do that, so If I can get someone to do it before they leave and then before they head back home, or if they're on a long trip, then absolutely every single day. And the other thing I warn people against is using those tire pumps like you'll find at a gas station, because they are absolutely abused. Everything gets beat around, and it's really not, unless you're using your own gauge for accuracy, you don't know what you're getting there. And of course, another tire tip would be you never check the tires when they're hot. You always want to check them when they're cold. So that means like first thing in the morning or before you travel, like say more than a mile on the tires, you want to check them, because as soon as they get hot, the inflation pressure is going to give you an inaccurate reading.
All right. So we've got a tire pressure gauge. What's the second tool that we need in our RV toolkit?
Well, you know, it's not just tools necessarily. It's also essential supplies is what I call it, a category I'd name it as. And one thing, and it might sound silly, but one thing I keep in my RV all the time is a good spray lubricant. And actually, the problem with that is you need the right lubricant for the job. I keep a product that's called BoSeal T9, and that will solve the problem for the majority of things that need lubricated, like the door starts squeaking or the slide out's making some noise. It's amazing what you can do with just a spray can of a good lubricant. But again, I caution people because you need to make sure what you're using it for. Some things need to be lubricated with graphite spray type, a dry type graphite, or something that turns into a waxy film and it won't collect dirt and debris. So you wouldn't want to use WD-40 on your slide out because that's not going to dry and form into like a wax. That's actually going to attract dirt, which will probably turn into emergency maintenance a little later. So
I've never used WD-40 on my slide out, have I?
You're getting schooled today.
and I love every second of it.
You're getting schooled. We're going to school. All right, Mark, what's next?
Well, I just want to mention, though, WD-40, they're one of their other companies, 3-in-1, they do have a specific spray for the slide out. So if you're looking for sprays, you can look and it'll tell you this spray is good for this on an RV. So that's what you want to do and make sure you get the right product for the right job. Next, and this probably could have been number one, well, although I guess tires would be the most important to get you to your destination. But once you arrive at your destination, you need some type of surge protection to protect the electrical system on the RV. And I can't stress how important this is. You would be amazed at how many campground pedestals are improperly wired, or a lot, it might be that they're really old and dated. But before I plug my RV in, I always test it to make sure that the wiring at the campground is not only safe, but it's wired properly. So there's a couple ways you can do that. I do it with a multimeter, but it's a little more complicated. It would take some time to explain how to do that. There are these small digital line monitors that you can purchase, just a little box with a plug on the one end, and you can plug that in at the campground, and it will tell you if there is high voltage, low voltage, if there's an open ground, an open neutral, reverse polarity. It'll let you know by which lights illuminate. It'll say there's a problem, or it'll say this is safe to plug into. And you're doing your appliances and electronic equipment in the RV a great favor by doing this small step before you plug in, because things can happen to your appliances and you don't even know it's happening and it's caused by one of these problems. So a way to completely solve it, and what I eventually did was I got a surge protector that it's actually a surge guard product that does all of this by itself. As soon as you plug it in to the campground, it will not turn on if there's a wiring problem. It just won't let the electricity flow. So I plugged that into the pedestal, and then I plugged my power cord into the other end of the surge guard. And I just let it do its thing, and I don't have to worry about it. But if you don't have that type of surge protection, then you need to make sure you're checking this out before you plug in.
I really want to stress something for the new RV owners and people just thinking about getting their first RVs. I think that some people avoid buying the surge protectors because they can be expensive, but that is a mistake. So I would not leave the dealership without one when you buy your first RV.
Even try to get them to throw one in.
haggle for a free one, for goodness sake, or have it added to the loan or something. But you don't want to buy the RV and then, oh my God, I don't want to spend $200 on the surge protector. Very important. What's next?
Yeah, and well, just real quick, there are so many different price points for surge protectors. So you could get one that's less expensive, and what it will do is it will sacrifice the surge protector sometimes. It can't solve the problem, but it will protect the RV. So you don't have to get the top of the line. you can start with one that, you know, but you do want to look at what the features and benefits of each one are and decide which one is best suited for you.
Yeah, and we reviewed actually what we use on our last gear guide, and we actually talked about that and talked about some of the different
and
levels.
And thank God we've never had a problem.
Yeah. All right, so what's up next, Mark?
Well, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember that sitcom on TV with Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
Yes,
yep.
We do.
It's tool time.
I'm kind of along those lines, so... I like to have tools for everything possible, and the next one on the list is maybe something that someone else doesn't consider to be essential, but it sure is to me. I like to keep a battery-operated drill. I take the charger, I take the drill, and I take all kinds of different types of bits that fit it that I can put in the drill, and I use it for tightening something, loosening something. I can drill with it. I can do, you know, anything that comes up or needs to be done. If you own a trailer and you get the right size fitting to put into the drill, you can actually raise and lower stabilizer jacks with it. So it really comes in handy. Like I said, I don't know if everybody would consider that essential, but it's something that I really like to keep in my RV.
We've used it.
I think a lot of travel trailer owners keep them in there just to raise and lower the jacks if they don't have electric jacks, for sure.
Yeah, yep.
All right, talk to us about what we need to bring for battery maintenance.
All right, and this is really simple, but it's important. You can go into any automotive parts store locally where you live, and they'll have what's just called a battery filler. So all it is a bulb that you can, it's a suction bulb, so you can put it into a gallon of distilled water and just let it draw the water up into that ball, and then you can check and fill your battery cells with distilled water. The thing that it goes back again to preventive maintenance, and it's really when you're on a trip, anytime the RV is plugged in to electricity, that your battery is being charged. A lot of new RVs have what's called a three-stage battery charger, and that's what you want. You want one that when the battery is completely topped off, fully charged, that charger kicks the voltage down so it doesn't overcharge the battery and deplete the water in the battery cells. The problem is there's a lot of RVs out there that only have a single-stage battery charger, and that charges the battery at a constant rate of, like, say, about 13.5 volts, and that's too high once it's fully charged. So when you're sitting there for days on end, the electrolyte level, the water in the battery cells, is just evaporating. And what will happen is once it gets where the plates in the battery are exposed with no electrolyte or water, then you have a dead battery. So, and this is worse in hot weather than it is in cold weather. So there's a lot of stuff here. I could write a book on this one category. But what's important to do is to remove the battery caps, look in there, and if you look inside of a battery cell, you'll see a piece of plastic that goes down about an inch, and then below that you should see the water, and that plastic piece is where you fill the water to. The bottom of that plastic piece is the level you want to fill the water to. So you can save your batteries and save headaches just by going out there once a week, taking the caps off, and just glancing in the cells, and if you see one low or two low, just get your bottle of your gallon of distilled water out and a battery filler and top them off. And it'll save your batteries, save some emergency maintenance.
And also, it's fire hazard on the road, right? I mean, this is something that could lead to a big problem in transit.
Yes. Yep. So that's just a simple one, but it's really important. Just really, really important.
All right. Do we need any kind of electrical tape, duct tape? What do you travel with?
Yeah, I actually have a kit. Just you can go into like a Lowe's or Home Depot and buy a small plastic. Looks like a little suitcase, and it's got little dividers in it. And I just fill that thing up with electrical connectors. I put fuses in there. that are in common to the RV, electrical tape, some Teflon tape. I just put screws, nuts, washers, anything at all that I might come up against. And you don't have to, make a trip and find the local hardware store. You might have it right there in that little suitcase. So just get one of them and go, think through the process of what could break or might break and what might I need, little accessories, light bulbs, fuses, and just put it in there, put it in your compartment, and it's there when you need it.
Now, Mark, you mentioned a surge protector, but you also travel with a multimeter?
Yes, I do. Again, that goes back to the Tim the Toolman Taylor type. I can't go anywhere without a multimeter.
Not even out to dinner with Dawn?
Well, it would be out in the truck.
Accessible at all times.
Yes. I use a multimeter for everything. And I'm not kidding. I bet I have five. I have them over at the shop. I have one in the RV, one in my truck, one in the garage at the house. I use it for, as far as RVing goes, I check the campground wiring with it. It's just, for me, it's really quick and easy, and I can make sure that nothing is miswired or, I'm not going to run into a problem with a ground issue or anything. And then you can also check your batteries, the state of charge, real quick by just putting it on 12-volt setting and, using the red lead on the positive post and the black lead on the negative post, and it'll tell you what the condition of your batteries are. So if you know what's high and what's low readings, you can monitor that really easily. If a light quits working inside, you can test the fuse with the multimeter. I mean, there's just a multitude of things you can do. So that's why I keep that in there.
Now, we told everybody, full disclosure, your RV toolkit list is long and it's in PDF form. We asked you to just pick some of the most important things that you wanted to feature.
Starter kit. The last thing
that you have on here is a road hazard kit for safety. And I think that is so important for everybody to travel with.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's really just, it goes back again that you can't categorize everything as a tool, but it sure is an essential supply type thing you should have. You can just pick one of these up about anywhere, automotive stores. It's just a basic road hazard kit, and it's usually going to be equipped with things like jumper cables, and there'll probably be like a flashlight, some warning triangles. It might have a safety vest. And of course, I don't know if you wouldn't find this in the kit, but something else that you'll keep in the RV is a good first aid kit, just in case, anything happens where you need to have that. But you definitely, if you break down alongside a major highway or even if it's a country road, you want to find a safe place to pull over and park, and then you want to put a couple warning triangles back behind the motorhome at different distances so people, oncoming traffic, people coming up your lane are notified that there's something wrong and they'll take precaution and slow down. So it's just one of those things. We actually have, Stephanie, some really good, helpful videos on our RV Education 101 YouTube channel that have this kind of stuff, the roadside kits, some of the electrical safety at the, surge guards at the campground, just a short 3-5 minute videos that are very helpful on some of these topics. So,
Mark, thank you so much. Why don't we end by just telling us everywhere we can find you? Where else can our listeners kind of hook up with your material and dive into all this great content?
Oh, we have numerous sites. We have blog sites. We have our primary. Years and years ago, we built RVEducation101.com. That's our the hub to the wheel. And then we branched off of the hub with the spokes, and we have RVing with MarkPolk.com, RV101 with Mark Polk. We have RV DIY channels. We have probably 10 or 12 channels, but if you go to RVOnlineTraining.com or RVEducation101.com, they will kind of point you to the other sites that have helpful information. I've literally written I've written over 1,500 articles on RV-related material that's available on the internet, and the information's out there. You can do a search and just put the topic if you're interested in electrical, and just put plus Mark Polk, and I'm sure an article will come up on that topic.
So also we can find you on social media, right, Mark? You guys are on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, absolutely. Dawn handles all that. We have a Facebook account, RV Education 101. We have a Twitter account. We have Instagram. And I don't. Am I missing?
Mark wasn't paying attention because I was trying to talk. This is Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Dawn, dive right in. Dive right in.
RVconsumer.com is what leads everything out. That's actually the spoke. Everything leads to RV Online or the hub. So RVconsumer.com will help you find a lot of our venues with our social media and all of that.
All right. Well, thanks for cleaning up that information for us, Dawn. We know where to go for that kind of information. Don't you worry. All right. Both
we can't
Mark
thank
and
you guys
Dawn,
enough. I mean, that was like three episodes worth of great tips and material.
And we hope
really
you'll come back
it.
Sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a huge thank you to Mark Polk and to Dawn Polk, too, who just helped us get this all together and dove in at the end to kind of straighten a few things out for us. They are really a dynamic duo in the RV industry, and they just produce such great, reliable content over at RVEducation101.com. Now it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp in comfort. And last year, Cabela's challenged us to go tent camping with their newly designed line of tents. And we honestly were amazed at how comfortable and easy tent camping has become, because we, of course, remembered our horror stories of setting up tents from decades ago, like with a bazillion poles.
Those military issue tents that are hard to set up.
But we set up three tents that we had never set up before, like in record time. It was so easy. All those tent poles just pop right together and pop right up, and it was amazing. It really was a fun experience.
Good quality tents, lots of fun. There's something for everybody. They have so many different options in their tent lineup this year.
If you're thinking about having a tent camping adventure with your kids this year, check out their full line of tents at Cabela's.com. And I'll also link in the show notes to our podcast episode where we talked about the different tents that we use.
I think every RV owner should have a tent they keep in the RV if you want to go out for some additional adventure.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Where you can't
use
take
your
the
RV as a base camp and then
head out.
Go off from there. All right.
Get out under the moonlight.
What's going on in the RVFTA world this week? First of all, over on Campground of the Week, we have our New York State correspondent, Tatiana Coffinger, reviewing Brown Track State Park. And I think that this might be the most remote campground that we have reviewed.
And I also just think the Adirondacks region is one of the most underappreciated national treasures, because it's not a national park. So I think it flies under the radar a little bit because of that.
It doesn't fly under Tatiana's radar.
No, it doesn't.
She loves it, and she's sharing
it with
us. And
we did too when we were there.
Yeah, so this is actually like you have to go on an unpaved road, you know, to get to this campground. But they've done it with their travel trailer, their Jayco 32 BHCS. So it's not
even
a small.
Which is like a 37-foot travel trailer.
Right. So this is a place that you can go, but you're definitely getting away from it all.
And our blog is just totally hopping and on fire. So if you head over to rvfta.com and you scroll down to the blog, you'll see that Kate Dunbar has a really great blog post on cast iron cooking. And there's a tutorial embedded that she did as a Facebook Live. Kate knows how to cook with cast iron. Okay, so she throws it down for you.
Yes, we go to the experts for everything. Mark Polk for maintenance and Kate Dunbar for cast iron cooking. All right. Now, we also want to remind you that you can get a complete RV stock up list that we've developed just based on our own experience and what we love to travel with as a family. If you go to rvfda.com, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you can sign up to get that PDF.
Also, you want to join our friendly RVFTA, the group on Facebook. We work hard to keep it friendly. And actually, everyone does a wonderful job. It's so rare that we have to hit the eject button. But when we have to do it, we don't blink.
We're not we're willing to. But you know what? Everybody really does treat it like it is a digital campfire. And you talk about the things that you talk about when you're around a campfire. And you keep it friendly and you keep it social.
Some people say it's like their online camping family.
Yeah.
And I think that that's true for a lot of us. A lot of really nice, friendly people there.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another week of RV Family Travel Atlas. If you like this podcast, please do us a favor and head over to iTunes and leave us a review. It really helps us. We read them. And it makes us feel all happy and warm inside.
Gives me like little butterflies of joy inside.
So we appreciate it. And everybody,
we appreciate you guys so much. We appreciate every single download. And we will see you
at the campground.
At the campground.